morning. You know, we for those of you who didn't know it, our church has been without heat for about a week. And we got heat here. When was that, Friday? Oh, Children's Church, I'm sorry. Children's Church, kids go to Sunday school and behave and listen to the teachers and learn about Jesus. Amen. You know that our children are our next generation. And it's an investment in our future. It's an investment in our future to teach our children the ways of God, because if we don't, you know, the world would teach the way of the world. And even our public school system would teach the way of the world. But we need to teach our children about the things of God. What are right and what are wrong. What is good and what is evil. We need to teach them that. Amen. And I'm so thankful for our teachers. You know, I'm so thankful for our teachers. And if we have somebody out here that say, you know, I really want to do something for the church, I want to help the church out, we need some teachers. We need teachers and we need some nursery workers also. You know, the field is ripe, but the laborers are few. So if you feel like you want to help us and do something for the children or whatever, you know, and that's not only women, but men, too. I'm so thankful for our men. We have stepped up. Our men has truly stepped up in this body here. And I'm so thankful for our men. And the women, too, also, for the women also. But I'm here to tell you today that Jesus loves you. Do you know that? Jesus loves you. And you know why? Because the Bible tells me so. Isn't that simple? Isn't that simple? Jesus loves you because the Bible tells me so. Absolutely. He said he loved the world, that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever, and who's the whosoever? You and I, you know, absolutely. So I'm so thankful here. Matter of fact, you know, military, ex-military, present military, if you would stand, please. We want to honor you. Thank you. Thank you for your service. And I mean that. Thank you for your service. Because if it wasn't for you and your sacrifices, we couldn't be doing what we're doing here today. We wouldn't have the liberties and the freedoms to be doing. A lot of people in the world today can't do what we do here, you know, in the public. We take it for granted so many times. You know, we come to church, come to Bible study, come to prayer meeting. A lot of places in the world, they cannot do that. They're truly persecuted. So let us pray for the persecuted Christians and the persecuted church also. Let us keep them in prayer. Because once again, we take so many things for granted. Like me, you know, I never thought about the heat that I have in the church and in my parsonage. Never thought about it until it was gone. Huh? But I'm going to tell you something. I'm thankful for it now. Trust me. I'm thankful for it now. You know, I wake up in the morning, I pull the covers down, and there's heat. Praise, I'm not seeing my breath, you know. And, I'm so thankful for the heat. Praise the Lord. Little things, you know, we take for granted. You know that we took our youth group to Haiti here several years ago. Because some of our youth, you know, they said, well, we are underprivileged because we don't have the $300 Jordan sneakers. We don't have the $1,100 iPhones or the iPads, you know, so they felt that they were underprivileged. But when they got to Haiti, let me tell you something. It changed some of our kids. Matter of fact, I had a couple of parents say, we got a different kid coming back. You know, they come home and turn the lights on and say, thank you, Jesus. They go to the faucet and turn the water on and say, praise the Lord. You know, because, you know, we took them to places that they didn't have anything. And some of the villages or whatever, the children didn't even have clothes, period. None. None. So, you know, we take so many things for granted here. But we need to be thankful for everything. The Bible tells us to give thanks for all things. So let us count our blessings one by one. Y'all remember that from Sunday school? Count your blessings one by one. But anyway, if you turn your Bibles to the book of
the book of John. But our main thing is going to be John. Well, it's going to be in John 2, but it's going to be in John 14. But if you take turn to the book of John and the 10th chapter, and I'm going to read one verse here. And I just want you to put that in your pocket and keep it for a while. Are you there? Let me get a couple. John 10, 30. John chapter 10, verse 30. All right, a couple more amens. Amen. All right. It says, I. Now notice, I don't know in your Bible, but in my Bible, it's red letters. Do you know any time that your Bible has red letters in it, it's Jesus talking. It says, I, so that's Jesus, and my Father are one. A very simple statement, isn't it? But it's very profound. I and my Father are one. We have the Trinity, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. A lot of people don't really understand the Trinity. As a matter of fact, nobody really understands the Trinity, to be honest with you. But, you know, I use an example of myself. You know, I am a son of Andrew and Henrietta Smith. I am a father of my children. And I am a pastor. So I have three different roles that I play. A son, a father, and a pastor. But I'm still the same person. Amen? Now, that's just very, very rudimentary, elementary. It does not do it justice at all, to be honest with you. But that gives you a little perspective about the Godhead. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. But it says here, it says, Jesus says, I and my Father am one, and the Holy Spirit also. But they operate in three different capacities. But it's the same one. So let's go to John. Now, remember that now. I want y'all to remember that. I and the Father am one. Let's say it together. I and the Father am one. Let's say it again. I am the Father and one. Do you know what y'all just did? Y'all spoke scripture. Do you know that? Some of you might not have spoke scripture in a long time. Some maybe never. But you did this morning. In the book of John 14, and I'm going to start with, I'm going to start in verse 1, 14:1. It says, let not your heart be troubled. Believe in God, also believe in me. Let not your heart be troubled. Don't let your heart be concerned or troubled about anything, is what he's saying. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it was not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself. And where I am, you may be also. He says, the place that I have that I'm going to prepare for you, it's a place of no hunger, no thirst, no sorrow, no pain. It's paradise. We have no conception. You know, we see the TV, you know, about what heaven is like. You know, the angels are flying around with harps and things and people walking on clouds and all that type of thing. You know what? I don't know. None of us know who are still breathing. You know, the song that we sing, I Can Only Imagine. You know, we're imagining what heaven is like. But one day, my Bible says that he will come and take us to where he is, and then we will know. See, we only know in part now. But one day we will know exactly what Jesus really looks like. You know, we see these pictures of Jesus. We see the pictures of Moses and Isaiah. We see all of the sculptures and things. But nobody really knows but those who have gone before us. They know. And one day, if you're in Christ, you will know too. You will know too. And it says also in verse 4, and whether I go, you know, and the way you know. And And whether I go, you know, and the way I go, you will know. And Thomas said unto him, Lord, we know not whether thou goest, and how can we know the way? You know, I am so thankful. You know, we call him Doubting Thomas, because Thomas, he doubted. But let me tell you something. We all got a little of that in us, don't we? We all have a little of that in us. Lord, I believe, but help me in my unbelief. Huh? Praise the Lord. You know, when I was up there in my parsonage and I was freezing, I had on two pairs of socks, got my hat on, a scarf on, you know, my long johns. And I said, Lord, I believe the heat's going to come on, but help me in my unbelief. And then one day it came on. Praise the Lord. Matter of fact, last Sunday we had heat in the sanctuary. Y'all didn't know we didn't have heat, but Brother John was downstairs and he was making sure every 10 minutes he had to readjust the furnace or the boiler so we can have heat. Every 10 minutes he had to do that. He had to adjust the boiler. So he stayed down there this whole service so we can have heat last week. But then he went home. Yeah, I lost heat. And you know, we were down there and he was trying to show me how to do it. And I'm thinking, he said, you got to turn this. And then when that water level go down there, you got to go over and hit that. And then you got to turn the thing. And then you got to look at the pump and then you got to take the pump. I'm looking at him like, You know, that's not in my wheelhouse. But I thank God for our people. I thank God for our workers. Amen. They keep us going. And so Thomas says unto him, we don't know where you're going. And how can we know the way? I'm so thankful for that question, because if he didn't have that question, we wouldn't have this next verse. And this next verse is one of the most powerful verses in the Bible. This next verse is one of the most powerful verses in the Bible. And that's only because this man asked a question. Now, Jesus said, you will know the way that I go. But Thomas says, well, how are we going to know it? And Jesus said, I'm glad you asked me that. And Jesus said unto him, I am the way. Not I will show you the way. Not I will tell you the way. He says, I am the way. And then he says, the second thing he says, and he says, and I am the truth. Not I will tell you the truth, not what I will show you the truth, but I am the truth. I am the way and I am the truth. And then the last thing he said on this one here, he says, and I am the life. Not that I will show you the life, not that I will let you read the life, not that I'll let you hear the life, but I am the way, the truth, and the life. There's no other truth other than me, he's saying. There's no other way other than me, he's saying. There's no other life other than me, what he is saying. Well, Pastor, you know, I know that there's other ways, there's other truths, there's other lives. Not when it comes to kingdom things, you see. Not when it comes to kingdom things. There's only one. And you know why he said that? He says, I am the way, the truth, and life. And he says that no man or woman cometh to the Father but by me. He says, no one, I don't care how rich you are, how smart you might be, how good looking you might be, how much work you might do, how much church you might go, how much reading the Bible that you read. There's only one way. You know, people have called me throughout the years narrow-minded because, you know, my mind is Jesus Christ, period. Not Jesus Christ plus, not Jesus Christ anything else. It's Jesus Christ, period. And I tell them all the time, you know, if you are not saved, if you have not surrendered your life, if you have not been adopted into the family of God, you will not enter the kingdom of God. Oh, Pastor, that's narrow-minded. No, 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 no. That's not me saying it. That's what the Bible says. This is the word of God. And I say this all the time. You always get into the word of God and follow what I'm preaching or teaching or anybody else up here. Make sure that what we're preaching and teaching lines up with the word of God. Make sure of that. And it says, Once again, no man cometh to the Father except by me. It has to be a true, committed relationship with Jesus. Intimate relationship with Jesus. Like I say, you can come to church every day of your life. You can read your Bible 23 hours a day and pray. And go and to the Salvation Army and help the people, help the homeless, and give money to missionaries and do all of that type of stuff. But if you don't have a personal relationship with Jesus, an intimate relationship with Jesus, you will not inherit the kingdom of heaven. Now, don't get mad at me, because people do. Oh, there's more than one way. My Bible tells me there's not. Where are you getting your information where there's other ways? You see, you understand what I'm saying? That's what I always ask. Where are you getting your facts from that there's other ways to the kingdom of heaven? But there's been teaching all around the world that there's more than one way to get to heaven. And I'm here to tell you, church, it's not. And the reason I'm telling you this is, and I do this all the time, is because I love you. That's why. Because I don't want you to be deceived. I don't want you to think that I'm on my way to heaven, and if you're not. Because when you stand that day before Jesus, and everybody's going to stand before Jesus one day, whether you're alive or dead, one day you're going to stand before Jesus. And he's going to say one or two things. And I want him to say to you, well done, my good and faithful servant. Enter. Come on in, because you have been adopted into the family of God, because you have surrendered your life to Jesus, because you have an intimate relationship with Jesus. You know, people, from time to time, I say, what makes you think that you're going to heaven? What makes you think that you can get into heaven? I hear all kind of, and I'm sure some of y'all have too, all kind of things. Oh, well, you know, my father was a pastor. My mother played the piano. Huh? I was born a Christian. I hear that. I hear all kind of things like that. And they believe that. But let me tell you something. God has no grandchildren. He has no grandchildren. You can't go on the coattail of your mama or your daddy or your grandmama or your grandfather or nobody else. It has to be you and you alone to come to Christ. And Jesus says the only way that you can come is through him. The only way that you can get to the Father and the kingdom of God is have a personal relationship with him. Now let's look at this next one. Now y'all remember what I said in John 10? That scripture I told you to and we said it three times. Let me hear. Do you remember it? Well, some of y'all are like, oh. let's go back. I and my Father are one. Let's say it again. I and my Father are one. What does that mean? They're not two. They're one. I and my Father are one. Now, let's go down to see what old Philip is talking about. And he says, if you had known me, you should have known the Father also. And from henceforth, you should know him and have seen him. Now, Jesus says, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father except by me. He says, if you had known me, you'd have known the Father. Why? Because I and the Father, me and the Father are one. And Philip said unto him, Lord, show us the Father and it will suffice us, or we will agree with that. Now, Jesus just said, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. He just said back here in 10, I and the Father and one. And we can go through scriptures. There's many scriptures down here that talks about Jesus and the Father as one. Amen. It says in Isaiah, you will conceive a child and he will come and you will call his name what? And Emmanuel means what? God with us.
Amen? And it says in the book of John 1:1, in the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And then the 14th verse, it says, and turned into flesh. Oh, how can you dispute that there's a difference between the two of them? But Philip was kind of a quiet, you know, he was kind of quiet. You don't hear him talking about a lot of stuff like Peter. You know, Peter, a big mouth Peter. You know, Peter always shooting his mouth off, talking yin yang. But Philip said unto him, Lord, show us the Father, and it shall suffice us. What he's saying is, I'm not taking your word for it. He must have been from Missouri. The show me state. Ain't that what that is, Missouri? The show me state. Huh? I hear what you're saying, but I need you. You need to show me. Show me. Show me the Father. He just says, if you see me, you've seen the Father. Now, what was Philip doing? Was he on the phone? Was he talking to somebody? Was he not paying attention? Was he falling asleep when Jesus was talking? Nobody in here ever do that. Mm-mm. But something happened where he didn't get it. He didn't get it. I'm going to get back to that he didn't get it in a minute. Jesus said unto him, are you crazy?
No.
Didn't you hear what I said? That's what I'd have said, absolutely. Jesus said unto him, have I been with you so long? Have I been so long a time with you, and yet has thou not known me? Woo! That is so deep right there. Now, he was talking to Philip over 2,000 years ago, but that applies so much to us today. Have I not been with you so long, and yet you don't know me? Well, wait a minute. He was handpicked. He had been with Jesus for 3 years. Every sermon that Jesus preached, he was there. Every Bible study, he was there. The Sermon on the Mount, he was there. The feeding of the 5,000, he was there. The healing of the lepers, he was there. The woman with the issue of blood, he was there. He's seen all of these miracles. Matter of fact, he was on the boat when there had to be a great storm. And Jesus come walking on the water. He saw Peter walking on the water. He's in the boat. But Peter got out and walked on the water. He saw all of this. And yet he is still questioning. Jesus says, once again, have I not been so long a time with you, and yet you have not known me, Philip? All this time that he had spent with Jesus, and Jesus says, you don't know me. You've been with me 24 hours a day, 7 days a week for 3 years, and you still don't know me. How many people for years and years and years come to church and hear sermons, go to Bible study, read the Bible and pray, and truly don't know who Jesus really is? How can we know who Jesus really is? I'm glad you asked me. Because he says, I am the way. We have to walk in the way of Jesus. I am the truth. We have to walk and live in the truth of Jesus. Not the truth of the world. Not the truth of our ancestors. Not even your own truth. I told you, I met a pastor here, it's been years ago. He says there's three different truths. Truth of the Bible.
the truth of the government and our own truth. Now, this is a pastor who's teaching his congregation that. But my Bible says that there's only one truth, and his name is Jesus. And so getting back to how can I really know Jesus? We have to walk in the way of Jesus. Do you know they used to call Christians back in the early church the way? Are you in the way? Or I'm in the way. Praise the Lord. Are you in the way? I'm in the way. This is before, you know, they were called Christians. I'm in the way. He says, I am the way. I am the truth. And the life. I am the life. The way to know Jesus is walk in his way, his truth, and in the life that he had lived and the life that he has called us to live. Of life of righteousness and holiness, a life of truth, a life of being real with him. Not just one day a week, not just 2 days a week, but every day. Now, we got Brother Al Priest and Brother Cyril Priest there. They're married. You know, got Brother Larry and Brother Sue. They're married there. You know, we got other married couples here. Let me ask you something. Do you only spend time with your wives on Sundays and Wednesdays and Tuesdays? No? Why not? Why don't you? Huh? Because you're one. And why else? Is there any other reason? Just one? You want to. Why do you want to? Because you love him. Why do you love him? He's your beloved. Praise the Lord. Give him a kiss. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Now see, that's an example of an intimate relationship. You go to bed with him and you wake up with him. You have breakfast with him, lunch, dinner. You know, all in the evening you have devotions and you pray together. Oh, let me talk about the prayer. Do you know there's so many divorces in the world? They say it's over 50% of divorces in the world. Do you know it's almost the same thing in the church? But you know also there's statistics, and there was a poll out that when couples pray together every day, that goes from 50% divorces to maybe 10 or 5%. You know what I'm saying? When you and your husband and wife pray together every day, the divorce rate goes down to maybe 5, 10% other than over 50%. So what is that telling us? We need to pray for your husband and your wife. Now, let me say this. I know that some of your husband get on your nerve. I know that. Because I get calls. I know that some of your wives get on your nerves. I know that. But even if they get on your nerve, you know, pray. You know, even if they sleeping, put your hand on their shoulder and say, in the name of Jesus. Amen. You know, and you know, if you just start off maybe 2 or 3 minutes of prayer in the morning, it will gradually increase to 5 minutes, to 10 minutes, to 15 minutes, to a point where you guys will have a devotion together and have a prayer meeting together, the two of you. That's very important. Very important. And for those of you who are not married yet, that you're looking for husbands and wives and things, remember that. Remember that. You know, once you get married, pray before. If you have a fiance or something, pray with them. Absolutely. God honors that. God honors that. Now, let me finish this up here. Philip said unto him, show me the Father. And Jesus says, well, Philip, I have been so long with you and you have not known me. He that has seen me has seen the Father. And how sayest thou, show us the Father? Philip, don't you remember what I said in John? I and the Father am one. Don't you remember what I said up here that that if I go to the Father, that we are the same person? Why are you looking for physical proof? You see, Jesus is talking about spiritual here. Philip was not walking in the Spirit when he asked that question. Because if he had, he would have known that they are one. And it's the same with us. When we don't walk in the Spirit, we don't get the things that God is trying to tell us. Now, we can read our Bibles when we have Bible studies, and some things we understand, but there's some things we need the Holy Spirit to reveal to us, that the Father and Jesus and the Holy Spirit are one. In the beginning, God created man in his image. He said, let us create in our image and likeness. Who's us? God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. We got all of that in us. We have all of that in us. And Jesus says, I go to prepare a place for you. And he says, the place that I'm preparing for you is beyond your wildest dreams. Beyond your wildest dreams. I don't know about you, but I can't wait. I can't wait. You know, because God has blessed me down here. He really has. You know what I mean? Because I could be in a lot worse shape than I am. And you too, regardless what shape you're in, you can be a lot worse shape than you are. But God blesses us, you know. And then when we do have things that God allows to happen with us, might be sickness or injuries or you know, you might have some issues, whatever it is. You know what? God is right there to walk us through it. Just like this thing that happened to the football player here last week. For those of you who are in football, y'all know. And some of y'all who are not in football, if you've seen the news, you've seen it too. Romans 8:28. To know all things work together for the good. Now, when this young man passed out, fell out, or died, not passed out, when he was on the field and he fell over and he died, his heart stopped. Somebody said for 9 minutes. His heart stopped. He died for 9 minutes. What did they do? They prayed. They took a knee right there on national TV. They took a knee, and his teammates, they prayed and they cried and they called out to God for this man. Even the opposite team, they were had bended a knee and they were holding hands and holding one another, and they were crying out to God for this one man. And it was broadcast all around the world. Huh? How good is that? Now, you know, somebody was just talking about, now you know, here a little while ago, they were firing people for taking a knee on the field. Coaches were getting fired and all this kind of stuff. Now the whole team was on the field praying. Oh, praise the Lord. How good is God? And that young man now is doing better. Matter of fact, they said he's going to make 100% recovery. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Now, you know, if a secular institution like that, but when it comes down to when you have different things like that that happen, oh, and that's what we need to do, church. We need to do that. Not when things bad happen, but all the time. All the time. Let's get back here to knowing Jesus, though. Yes, my brother. Yes. On ESPN, there was a guy that was on there also, and the one guy said, should we do that? And he said, I'm going to do it anyway. Whether I should or shouldn't. Whether I should. Now, let me ask you this, because his job, his family, all of his welfare of taking care of his family was dependent. They could have fired him. He said, I don't care. I don't care. See, this man here knew Jesus. He knew Jesus. Because he knew Jesus would protect him and provide for him and cover him. See, when we follow him, when we walk in the way of Jesus, when we walk in the truth of Jesus, when we walk in the life of Jesus, God honors that. He said, they say, that's my child down there. That's my child. No weapon formed against him shall prosper. He is more, or she is more than a conqueror through him who loves us. And we all go through trials and tribulations. Like I tell you all the time, there are three types of people in this room. Those who are in a trial right now, in a storm right now of your life. Those who are coming out of a trial, coming out of a storm. And those other who might on your way into another trial or storm and don't know it. We all go through it. We all go through it. But the key word is through it. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. Why? Because thou art with me. Thou art with me. You are my heavenly Father. I am your child. Yes, I'm a king's kid. Father, hold on to me. Father, hold on to me. I'm going to hold on to you, so, and you're going to hold on to me, and you're going to bring me through this thing. How many of us have gone through trials and tribulations in our life, and God has brought us through them? Everybody need to raise your hand. Everybody need to raise your hand with that. Because we all have gone through it. But that shows you how good our God is. Our God is an awesome God. Let me stop right there for that word awesome. You know, you hear people talk about, oh, she's awesome. Oh, he's awesome. Oh, the car's awesome. No, no, no. There's only one awesome, and his name is Jesus. Awesome God. So if you use that word, only use it when you're talking about God. He's the only awesome God. I'm about ready to sing that song. Oh, y'all be running out of here. But God said make a joyful noise, didn't he? I ain't gonna make no noise today. Anyway, he says that, verse 11, believe me that I am in the Father and the Father in me, or else believe me for the very work's sake. Verily, verily, I say unto you that he believeth on me, the works that I do, you should do also, and greater works than these shall you do, because I go to the Father. And whatsoever you shall ask in my name, that will I do, that my Father may be glorified in the Son. How good is that? But all of that is contingent on us having a personal, intimate relationship with Jesus. You see, he will honor his children. And yes, you know, a lot of times when we pray things, you say, well, God didn't answer my prayer. Yes, he did. Yes, he did. If you are his child and you call upon him, he will answer your prayer. It might not be the way that you want it or how you want it or when you want it. It's like these kids, I tell y'all this all the time. You know, these little kids, they were raised in the church, raised in Sunday school. They heard this thing, asking you shall receive, seeking you find, knocking the door should be open, praying in the name of Jesus. So they all got together in their room, you know, because they've been asking their mama for treats and their daddy for treats. And they say, okay, this is what we're going to do. Mommy and daddy and the Sunday school teacher and the pastor would tell us, you know, ask whatsoever in my name and it'll be done for you. So let us hold hands, little sister, little brother, all in the name of Jesus. We come to you in the name of Jesus. And we're asking, oh Lord, that you will let us have ice cream, cookie, cake, and candy for breakfast, lunch, and dinner. In the name of Jesus. And they go out, and their mom and daddy, and they all happy and everything. Mommy and daddy, we prayed and we asked God in the name of Jesus, like you told us to, for ice cream, cookie, cake, and candy for breakfast, lunch, and dinner. Bring it on. What is mom and daddy going to say? You can pray all you want to, but you're not going to get ice cream, cookie, cake, and candy for breakfast, lunch, and dinner. Why? Because it's not good for you. You see, you might think it's good for you, You want to enjoy that, but because your mother and your father know what's best for you, the answer is no. So your prayer is answered, but it's answered for your own benefit. But a lot of times we don't realize that, do we? We don't realize that the thing that we pray for, God says no. And we get mad, don't we? You know how the little kids, they poke their lip all out, stomp their feet. You know, that's not fair. Oh, yes, you know that. Back when I was coming up, we couldn't do that. They do it now, but back then, we couldn't do that. I'm going to tell you. I wouldn't be here. I wouldn't have no lips. Absolutely. But anyway, different day. Praise the Lord. I'm not advocating beating your child at all. No, don't spare the rod. God is in Jesus and Jesus is in God. Amen. There's only one way, only one direction. There's no detours. See, when you go down the street and you see that one arrow pointing one way and it says one way, it means for you to go one way. Right? It means for you to go that direction. And it's having you go that way for a reason. I heard a story here the other day from a pastor. I was But anyway, there was a big storm or earthquake out in California somewhere. And the bridge collapsed down the road. And this one guy, you know, he came down the road and he saw the bridge was out. So he got out and he had a flashlight and he had a handkerchief or something, and cars was coming and he was waving them, trying to warn them. And they drove by him and looked at him and said, "Well, look, that silly man, what is he doing? No, we're not going to stop for him." And it says 5 people died because they went over the bridge, because they did not heed the warning. You see what I'm saying? They didn't heed the warning. He was trying to stop them, to save them. But they just kept on going. And that's what Jesus is trying to do to us. There's warnings. There's signs telling us that I am the only way. I'm the only truth. And I'm the only life for you not to perish. I am the only way. Remember what God told Moses when he says, "What am I tell Pharaoh, you know, to let you be?" He said, "Tell him I am that I am. I am what I am that I am." You know, when I was studying this, I thought that came back to me. That came back to me. You know, and you know, that was Jesus back then talking to Moses too. I am that I am. And now he is in the New Testament. He says, "I am that I am. I am the way, I am the truth, and I am the life. No man can come through the Father. No man can go to heaven unless you get real with me. Unless you get real with me." You know, we can do all the lips that we want. Oh, I'm a Christian. I go to church. I read my Bible. I pay my tithes sometimes. Huh? People get tight when you talk about tithes, don't you? Yeah, I ain't going to talk about them too much today. No, but let's get real. You know, this year, you know, I talked about it last week. Some of y'all wasn't here. And some of y'all might have gone to Planet Fitness, you know, dollar down, dollar of $10 a month to join Planet Fitness. Mm-hmm. Yep, some of y'all might have went and joined Planet Fitness. Some of y'all might have went and, you know, got some patches and said, "I'm going to quit smoking." Some of you said, "Well, I'm going to get Jenny Craig." I don't know. You know, I'm going to buy a new treadmill.
Yeah, I'm gonna get a new stationary bike this year. Yep. This summer to be out on your lawn. Lawns, you know, when you have your rummage sale. You use it for a coat rack until then. You know, you might use it till the first of the month. Then it's all gone down, you know. But I'm saying here, let me tell you something. This year, let's get real with Jesus. Let's make a commitment. And that's another thing. The commitment of the church today is almost nothing. People are not committed anymore. People don't persevere anymore. You'll do it when you feel like it. If it's inconvenient or if you got something to do. Oh, well, you know what I mean? I'll go next Sunday. The next Sunday something will come up. Oh, I'll go next Sunday. And then the more Sundays that you're not at church, the more comfortable you get by not coming. Do you know that? Yeah. You know, we need to be more committed to the things of God. And let me say something to you. There's more than one church. That's why you have other churches. If you're not comfortable here, if you're not getting what you think that you need here, find you one. Find you a church that you're comfortable, that you're getting fed. You know, don't come here and start grumbling and start calling discourse amongst the brothers and sisters. Oh, you know, Pastor, he preached that last month. Oh, Pastor, he preached the same. I'm reading the Word of God. Amen. And Jesus, when he said it over and over and over again. He said, Peter, he said, didn't I tell you that me and the Father are one? How many times have I told you that, Philip? Sometimes it goes in one ear and out the other. You understand what I'm saying? Now, what I'm saying here today, 15, 20, 30 minutes from now, when y'all get out here and going home, going to the restaurant, somebody going to say, well, what did the pastor preach? He preached in the Bible. Come on now. You know, we need to have ears to hear. We need to meditate on God's word. We need to understand God's word. The fruit that you know that you are a child of God is that you have a hunger and a thirst for the things of God. That you will seek God. He said, if you seek me, you will find me. But you have to seek me with your whole heart. You can't just seek me on Sundays and Tuesdays or just when you want something. You need to seek me all the time. Now, we have things that we have to do. We have jobs, you have families, you have all different types of things. But what I'm talking about is being real and serving Jesus. Just being real and serving Jesus. And some of you say, well, I've tried. Take the try out of it and do it. You don't go home and say, you know, I'm hungry. Well, why don't you eat? Well, I tried. No, you didn't try. You know, because you go in that refrigerator and you're going to eat up everything you can find. I tried. No. Brother priest and sister priest, you know, I tried to love her. No. He loves her. Brother Larry, I tried to love Susan. No, he loves her. He didn't try. He's doing it. And the proof of the pudding is, see how they sitting together and they touching each other? Give your wife a kiss. Oh, praise the Lord. Amen. Matter of fact, all you husbands, give your wives a kiss. Give your wife a kiss. Yes, absolutely. Give your wife a kiss, young man. Is that your wife? Oh, don't know mine then. Your girlfriend? All right. You military? Thank you for your service. Yeah, she's a cute one.
Don't let it go. Amen. Thank you for your service. Now, are y'all engaged? We can do it right now. Come on. I'm just kidding. When you do, young man, when y'all get engaged, get past a call. Give your family a discount. Huh? You do have your husband. Well, you still have him. Well, go hug him. Huh? You can't walk there. You get every place else. Yeah, you do. Go hug your husband. Ain't no excuse. Amen. Praise the Lord. But anyway, did everybody understand what I said today? Have you been with me so long and yet not known me? And if you know me and if you love me, to know him is to love him, and to love him is to obey him. Now, we all are not perfect, and we're never going to be perfect on this side of glory. But what I'm talking about is having a true, real, intimate relationship with Jesus. Amen? That's what I'm talking about here today. Do we have that?